The first reading is from the Old Testament, from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. You may read along from your pew Bibles, beginning on page 333. Listen for the word of the Lord. Now the people of the city said to Elijah, "The location of the city is good, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad, and the land is unfruitful." He said, "Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it." So they brought it to him. Then he went to the spring of water and threw the salt into it and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have made this water wholesome. From now on, neither death nor miscarriage shall come from it." So the water has been wholesome to this day, according to the word that Elijah spoke. The word of the Lord.
We are continuing our study of Matthew 25. Matthew 25, as I said last Sunday, for those of you who weren't here, it's a judgment text that sort of at the end of time, at the end of this age, in the beginning of the next, the question is, how do we know if we've done what God desires us to do? And that's at the heart of this text. And we're looking at this. We looked at it last week, this week, and then we'll look at it for four more weeks, each piece of it. And so let us listen once again to the word of the Lord. "When the Son of Man comes in glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.'" The word of the Lord. In many ways, it was just an ordinary day. April 25th, 2014. I won't ask you what you were doing on April 25th, 2014, because I certainly can't remember what I was doing. But if you look at the headlines of that day, they all seem to be the same headlines as today. The Israelis said they would no longer negotiate with the Palestinians. Secretary of State Kerry was warning the Russians about supporting Russian separatists in the Ukraine. President Obama had just told the South Koreans that if North Korea got a nuclear weapon, that we would continue to support them. And measles cases were at a 19-year high. Some things never change. But there was something else that happened on that day that didn't make the headlines, didn't even make the newspapers, because no one really paid any attention to it at all. On that day, the city of Flint switched their water supply from Detroit water to the Flint River. And they did it because the emergency manager said it would save money. And he knew that the water would tear up the water lines
that it was corrosive, incredibly corrosive. He also knew that it would only cost $100 a day to treat the water so that it wouldn't be corrosive. But he didn't want to spend the money. All of us here know the end result. Thousands of children poisoned by lead. Water made undrinkable, unwashed. You couldn't wash with it, you couldn't cook with it, you couldn't do anything with it. And millions of dollars has had to be spent to try to clean it up. Water, clean water. How many of you washed, bathed, washed your hands, or drank with it this morning? How many of you had a drink of it last night, yesterday? How many of you sprayed it all over your lawns? I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? We just take it for granted. We assume it's going to be there. But the reality is that throughout not just history, but even today, water and clean water is not something that can be taken for granted. Throughout history, the lack of water, droughts have changed the course of history and the course of civilizations. Archaeologists now suspect that it was a drought that destroyed the Mayan civilization in the Yucatan. That it wasn't war, it wasn't anything else, but that as the waters didn't come, they couldn't plant crops, they couldn't feed their animals, and so they just sort of melted away. In the 1500s, here in North America, there was a mega drought. It stretched from the Great Lakes all the way to what is now the southwest portion of the United States. And what it did down in the southwest portion of the United States, what is now, is that there were great Native American civilizations, advanced civilizations that simply vanished because the waters dried up. And it's not just in our current history. If you look at the biblical stories, last week we had a story of Elijah. And Elijah is in hiding because there is a drought, and the king and queen of Israel blame him for the drought. And he lives in a wadi, and then when the water dries up, he is forced to go out and meets up with the widow at Zarephath, where he saves her life. But it's that whole story is driven by a drought. How did the people of Israel get to Egypt? They went to Egypt because there was a drought. Jacob and his sons and daughter-in-laws and all of their clan, they all have to go to Egypt because there is a drought in the time of Israel. So whether it's sort of in modern history or biblical stories, drought plays this incredible role where the waters disappear and societies change. But that's not the only way water plays a role. The other piece of this is that it is clean water. Now, as we know from Flint, it's even here in this country, we can't take clean water for granted, though I think, being honest, I do. Just hop in the shower, put a cup in the faucet. But Flint's not alone. There are multiple cities in this country that have worse lead contamination than Flint. And not only that, around the world, there are almost 780 million people who do not have access to clean water. Now, would you just take that in? 780 million people can't do what we do and pour a cup of clean, cold water. Their water is contaminated. It is contaminated by microorganisms. It is contaminated by bacteria. They can get schistosomiasis. They can get guinea worm. They can get horrific childhood diarrhea. And this year, just shy of 1 million children under the age of 5 will die because of a lack of clean water. Just under 1 million children. And it's that sense of clean water that's at the heart of this Old Testament story this morning. It's not a drought this time. It's that the water is dangerous. And so what you have are people, as the story goes, they have fertile land. They have plenty of water. But they understand that the water is, it's dangerous. It's deadly. And so unless something happens to clean up the water, they are going to have to migrate away to someplace else, leaving this wonderful land behind. And so what's fascinating to me is what they do about it. They don't, you know, go on the internet and find someone who can sort of put in some water filters. But instead, they turn to Elisha. Now, Elisha is a prophet. And the job of the prophet is essentially to speak truth to power. The role of the prophet is to speak to those in power in the nation of Israel and say, you are not living up to God's expectations for you. You shouldn't be worshiping other gods. You shouldn't be mistreating the poor. You should be caring for the least. I mean, that's the prophet's job. And yet, what do these people do? They turn to the prophet Elisha and say, we need your help. And what's interesting is Elisha does it. Now, I don't understand water purification, so I have no idea what Elijah does or why he does what he does, but he gets a new bowl, puts some salt in it, goes to the spring, throws it in, and miracle of miracles, the water is healed. And the people can stay, and the people can farm, and the people can thrive. And to me, what this says is that God doesn't just care about our souls or our spirits. God cares about all of us. Body, mind, soul. God cares that we have water to drink, and as we learned from last week, food to eat. God cares about all of us. And that becomes evident in that piece, in that judgment piece, where it's a fascinating image where God brings all the nations together, not just God's own people, if you read the story. It's all people from around the world come and sit before the king, and the king says, well, listen, all of you folks who have done for the least of these, including giving a cup of cold water, you get a thumbs up. You are the sheep and not the goats. That God cares about us when we're hungry and when we are thirsty. And so what I want to do is I want to invite Tim Ingare to come up. Tim is head of the Theka Water Project. And Tim, come on up. And he's going to tell you about a project that we have been involved in, that the Presbytery of Detroit's been involved in. And I'll just let him explain it. Tim.
Good morning. Well, I'm delighted to be invited, and I just want to thank you as a church, and particularly also your foundation, for the help you have given to the people of Theka. And we have two projects that are going on. One is complete, and the other one is going on. So I'm going to tell you about the project that's complete.
Remind them where Theka is. They may not know.
Okay. Theka is in Kenya, not too far from Nairobi. But the place that we are doing the well is called Kitui. And it's an arid area. You know, it's most of the time it's dry. And so this community was there. They had no water. They had to go 10 kilometers, which is like 6-7 miles to get water. And when they got there often, the The place was dry, and they couldn't get enough water. And this job of getting water fell on the ladies. And what does that mean? If the lady has to go get the water, they keep the older children to watch the rest of the children. So those children don't go to school. Or if they are the older children, they are sent to fetch the water. And, so what we did, as with your help, and we thank you again, is we built a well. Now, this well is very expensive. That's one of the problems, because it's a deep well. It goes down almost 200 to 300 meters, and it goes through hard rock, and so it's very expensive to drill. But thank God we drilled the well, and we found water. So now what was the next step? We had to get it up. So we had to get a pump, and what we did is we brought it up and we put it on a tank, and then it could go down to be used. But how do you get the water from the well? You need electricity. Now, you can buy a generator, and many wells in Kenya had generators, but the diesel is so expensive, so that sometimes they end up giving it because they can afford to run the diesel. But what we did is we built solar panels on top of the tank. And what that meant is the sun provided the energy and the electricity to bring the water up. And I'll tell you, that water comes up, is clean as can be, is sweet water. You don't have to treat it. And the people were just so delighted. And I remember receiving a letter from one of them. Later on, they said, you know, Tim, we were having these stomach ailments, and you know, some kids and grown-ups were being sick, and we didn't quite know why. But since we got that well, you know what? We haven't had those problems. Almost like Joshua's story. But there were other ancillary help, because now the ladies that were spending whole days going to get water had extra time, right? The children that were going to fetch water now can go where? They can go to school. And so that becomes a real benefit. Now, what they needed was they had a primary school. They needed now a secondary school because more people were coming into the area, and they are now building a high school. So now our idea of giving them more water also revitalized the community. And we are in the process of doing the well now in this place called Yata. We have the money, and we are trying to drill, and we are praying so hard that we get water from there the same way. So that's the story of the two wells.
Tell them how they can help.
Now, how you can help, obviously, you can give us a donation, for the well, but also mostly for these ancillary things that, building schools, the classrooms, the health center, so when the water comes, we can pipe it to these areas for the children. So any help you can provide us would be greatly appreciated. And now, Martha is here, so I don't know whether to tell you this, but I'm just joking. But just remember that when you give us money and it says the well, the presbytery says that is for the well. You're not going to use it for the classroom. You're not going to use it for these other things. So just remember that when you're giving us your donation. And I'll leave it to Reverend Judson to find out how we can do that. But I thank you very much, and we thank you for all your assistance in this matter.
So, so if you would like to help, in your bulletin, it says Timengare, and it says the Theka Water Project. And the water project would allow it to go to the well, the ancillary things such as the piping, to gardens, to the schools, and it's just that expansion. And if you can make the checkout to the church, but just put in the memo line that you'd like it to go to the Theka Water Project, and our Martha will make sure that it gets to the presbytery, and so you don't have to worry about just sort of making it out to the presbytery. So that's my challenge, is for you. There are lots of ways to give water. There's still places around here that need bottled water. You can do that. But you can participate in this because it's not just fresh water. It's the transformation of a community and of people's lives. So let us pray. Gracious God, we are so grateful that we have been given the gift of clean water. Help us to never take it for granted. Help us to share it with others in this world who are in need, that it might bless them even as it blesses us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.